Welcome to the Tuesday night. Welcome to the Tuesday night edition of 100 Yards Football. I'm your host, Mr. Vincent Turner. Joining this evening, as I see my first callers came in, is a very highly respected gentleman in the Atlanta metro area from an AAU basketball standpoint. His father was one of the first African-American coaches at Syracuse University, Mr. Brian Spencer. How you doing this evening, Coach?
I'm doing great. Vincent Turner, how are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing fantastic. Now let me bring up our second member of the panel. The gentleman's online joining us tonight. He's the author of the Student Athletic Playbook, Athlete Playbook, one of the most outstanding books out there for a student athlete to gather. He was also a one-time football player, real known in the Atlanta metro area. Coach Barry Brown, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing wonderful, Mr. Football, doing wonderful.
Okay, gentlemen, let's get this show started because we only have 30 minutes tonight, and I know y'all have a lot to talk about our topic, the 2016 recap of the NCAA Final Four. Where are the HBCU schools? Where they at? Where they at? Remember that song back in the day? Where they at? Where they at? Phone number for the show tonight. It's 657-383-1177, 657-383-1177. Well, gentlemen, this year's tournament turned out to be a fantastic Final Four tournament with Villanova beating North Carolina on the last second shot. But the two schools that was representing the HBCU schools were Hampton University and Southern University. Well, Southern University didn't make it out of the playoff game, and Hampton lost in the first round to eventually the Virginia Cavaliers that lost in the Midwest West Regional Regional Finals. So, gentlemen, when you look at the HBCUs, and I know a lot of us have some ties to it because I had an aunt that graduated from Tennessee State, where can we say are the HBCUs on a level where they can compete right now, or what can they do to ensue their program better where we can get more teams into the NCAA? Well, from a football standpoint, we can play for the national championship. Where we at with this topic tonight?
Well, I'll dive right in. From a football standpoint, that's going to be real tough because you're talking about the number of athletes that you have to field a competitive squad. That's going to be very, very, very difficult. But I think when you look at sports like baseball, basketball, your smaller, your teams that don't require as many athletes, I think it's something that can happen. I think it's something that definitely needs to be looked at. But you know, I just when I look at it, man, it's just a mindset. I think, you know, I think we don't think that our institutions are competitive. You know,
Coach Brown.
Well, I think it's as simple as this as far as saying it, but a little bit harder to do as Coach Spencer just mentioned. It's a money game. College athletics has become a money game, and so our historically black colleges and universities basically have to get to the money. Now, we all know the history of college athletics. We do, you know, the gentleman that's on the phone. And we must make light and give light to the fact that, yo, these schools have, some of these majority schools have deep coffers. And when I say deep coffers, I'm referring to they have the actual financial backing from booster clubs that can actually go get anything they need, from players to stadiums to indoor practice facilities, the whole nine. So when you start talking about football, you just have to have the budgets, the recruiting budgets, to go out here and get what you need, i.e. players. And that's the difference right now.
Phone number for the show this evening, 657-383-1177, if you want to join us this evening. Yes, sir. I'm sorry, Coach.
No problem. Coach Brown definitely hit on it. It's definitely a money game. And from that standpoint, to be honest with you, and this is just my opinion, I don't think we can approach it that way because we're so far behind. We definitely got to have the money, but if you just take a kid right now to the best facility, and I don't know which institution, which HBCU has the best facilities, and compare it to, man, there's some Division III schools that got better facilities than our HBCU, than our best HBCUs. So when you start comparing, when you start comparing, if you try to go about it to compete with a money game, I don't think you can do it. I think Delaware State is 300 and something D1 schools. Delaware State has the deepest recruiting budget of all the HBCUs. I think it's like $17.2 million. And that ranks like 124th among all Division I schools. So we're so far behind in that game, and our pockets in terms of the players that move on and go to the next level, it's not many of the players that are doing that, so they're not giving back like Carmelo Anthony buying, you know, building a new facility for Syracuse. We don't have that going on. So I think it comes to a place where you got to start casting vision, and they got to know the history. See, they don't know about the guys that came out from HBCUs back in the day, and that they used to, and it's not that long ago. You know, you're talking about Earl of Pearl Monroe and Purvis Short. Matter of fact, Purvis Short was drafted before Larry Bird. But these young guys today don't even know that. They've never heard of Purvis Short. So I think the only way that we can compete is we have to go all the way back and teach these kids the history of what HBCU sports used to look like.
Well, I think phone number, if you want to join us this evening, is 657-383-1177. I always use the word reality. And reality is, I grew up watching a lot of black school HBCU sports from a football standpoint. But I think the HBCUs have to realize who they are. You're not a big boy. You're a little boy. So what you have to do, you have to create within what you have. What you have is then trying to play in the NCAA tournament, generate you some money, have your own NCAA tournament among your own schools. Like, let's look what Southern and Grambling does in football. The Bayou Classic, I don't know the numbers of money they generate, but they're on NBC, and they generate millions of dollars. Have your own Black National Championship game, or even have some with the Division I AA where you have teams y'all gather together and you have a national championship and get you a network contract. But when you're trying to go against something that's unbeatable like the Division I, to me, that's unreality. Because, number one, your facilities are downtrodden. And when you look at and it's just me personally, when you look at a young black athlete that has some potential, the first thing they're going to look at, can you get me to the league? Or who you got in the stands? That's why the white schools, it's almost like comparing Clark University to 93,000 at Georgia Stanford Stadium. So you got to know who you are. Then you got to have somebody from a political standpoint, that just me and your administration, that's going to go to the state and fight for every dollar when the University of Georgia needs a dollar for some educational. Well, hey, Clark Atlanta has to be there with somebody. We need this for our facilities. Because trust me, every year, them schools, the big schools, Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia, they're going to the state and fighting for money for their facilities. And to me, I don't think we have, just looking over the last few years, I don't think you have nobody that's really seriously down here, and I'm talking about in the state of Georgia where you're just fighting for a Clark, just fighting for a Fort Valley State, just fighting for a Morris Brown. Understand the history and everything, Coach Spencer. Don't get me wrong. It's a fantastic history. But we're dealing with a whole different brand of athlete right now. They're the Facebook athlete of the universe. They want to see Instagram. Well, oh, I'm in South Carolina. Bam. You see what I'm saying? But if you create something with your own and realize who you are, then I think you can solve the problem. Have somebody go in the state fighting for your dollars.
Coach Brown, you want to jump in on that?
Man,
come on.
Hey.
That's the truth.
No, that is the truth. I think that's when you start talking about the Black Miss America pageant. When you start talking about integration, segregation, then you have to look at that stuff as like, man, that's a valid point. You know, I understand that, and so that might be something that the HBCUs need to really consider. I have to agree with you.
Because I'm not disagreeing with Coach Spencer's point, at no point. But see, now we have a different type of individual. We have a different individuals coming out of HBCUs. Michael Strahan, case in point, Texas Southern University. Just got voted on a Good Morning Live now. He's going to be a cast member. The most visual TV show in America. But I don't hear him saying nothing about Texas Southern. I don't even see how proud he is. What would you think if he got on TV and stand him, excuse my language, Michael Strahan, I'm not going to call him that other word, you know what I'm saying, UT, but you know what I'm talking about, don't you, fellas? If you proud, like I'm a Phi Beta Sigma, I'm proud of Sigma. 1914, why? Can he not say that? Because you better understand when Howard Long is up on that NFL set, he talking about Villanova. When Kenny Smith is on TNT, North Carolina. Yes, sir. I'm sorry, Coach Spencer.
No, you good. But that's – I agree. Listen, man, that's one of the things that I'm working on, having our own preseason tournaments like they do over there in Hawaii and all that type of stuff just for HBCU.
That's what I'm talking about.
Having our own conferences and our own NCAA tournament. I'm working on all that type of stuff. I don't disagree with any of that. But all of the things that you just said speak to the mindset of us. See, here's a guy that went to HBCU and made it to the top. But nobody even knows where he went to school. But everybody knows that Howie Long went to Villanova.
Okay,
you know,
Coach, but how do we change the mindset?
Everybody even knows that Terry Bradshaw went to Louisiana Tech. So my point is this. We are dealing with a different animal. So I'm telling you this. We can come up with all the money that we want to. It's still never going to catch up to the – because they got long money and it's old money. It's still never going to catch up to them. So no matter how much money we come up with, until you change the mindset of these youngsters, they're going to still go to the white institutions because they think white is better. Until they know the history of where we come from, the history of athletics, and why they started tapping into our schools and why our athletes left from the historic – listen, why would you stop going to historically black colleges if you were being drafted from the historically black colleges to go pro? Because I think I've arrived when I go to a white school. So the money is the issue, but the mindset is the key.
Okay, now Coach Brown brought up a key point. The mindset. Let's look at the mindset. What attracts the mindset? Attractive females. Attractive females.
Hold on now. I know you're not going to say
I'm not going to say that. I'm saying with the black beauty pageant, the bands.
Mm-hmm.
Focus
mm-hmm.
on the bands with the females, to attract the females, like Tennessee State, the Gremlins. You got to have, with these young guys, if you're a male, your mindset as a youngster, you're going to still, when you're an athlete, you still want to go somewhere where there's attractive ladies. But it's the little things sometimes that our mindset is not. And two, I like to sometimes, and this is no disrespect, I don't mean to cause no laughter, but make the campuses look presentable. Now, Clark is doing a good job here in Atlanta with a new lab, but have the grass cut sometime. You understand what I'm saying? Have the buildings clean every 6 months. Go around and have your dressing rooms clean. Don't have the bathroom hinges torn off. I don't mean to go there, but I'm just saying.
No, that
and have an attractive female out front.
Right.
No, you're right. I mean, Mr. Football, let me tell you something. I think both of y'all got tremendously valid points. Coach Spencer talked about the mindset. I mean, you just talked about facilities being up to par in the whole nine. All that has to be improved. But I agree with Coach Spencer. It's the mindset. Integration.
Absolutely.
I think everybody started to talk about it now. The new film, Black Friday, shout out to my man Rick Mathis and his crew for putting that film together. They talk about it in there, how economically we were really destroyed by integration. So when you start talking about Grambling, I think that was in the 70s and even the 80s, Grambling put the most players from any institution into the NFL. Am I not mistaken? Is that right, Mr.
Yes,
Football?
Yes, sir.
What I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So that is a huge question. Why? What happened? And why did if a school like Grambling with a legendary coach was putting the most players from any college or university in the United States into professional football, what happened? That's
the question
that needs to be discussed. You know what I'm saying?
Well, like Coach Spencer said, teaching the history, we got to go back and take the principles of the great legendary Eddie Robinson. What was he doing so special down there in Ruston, Louisiana? Well, what he was doing, he was reaching out with the main folks in the college game. He was best friends with Bear Bryant, went to numerous football clinics, learned from Alonzo Stagg, who was one of the greatest coaches ever. So when he was able to come back, I don't know, as Coach Spencer said, the mindset, but obviously he was saying, hey, for us to compete on this level, we got to run the mindset of these type of offenses that's attracted to pro football. You see what I'm saying? That most of all, I know this about the legendary, bless his soul, Eddie Ross. He was keen on always keeping that campus up to par from a facility standpoint. I think, to me personally, that's the first point we have to do, take care of what you have. Because if I'm an athlete, and I'm not trying to throw no fingers, but I don't care if you're not making a dime. If I'm coming on clock and I'm an athlete, okay, Georgia might be recruiting me. I might even be going to Georgia. But you know what? I'm coming on campus. Library up to par. It's clean. I'm seeing buildings taken care of. The football field is being cut every other time. The field looking like AstroTurf out there. The stadium is clean. I guarantee you, if that athlete not coming, he gonna say one of the less athletes, hey man, you might not come here and play at Georgia, but I know where you might can go get some time at. You might go get some time at Clark. Oh man, they gymnasium. Ooh wee, man, gymnasium is fantastic.
I agree with that.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Coach.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Finish your point.
But my mind, like you said, the mindset, we got to get into a point of creating, like you said, Coach Spencer, and also Coach Brown, Black Padre, our own tournaments and going to these networks. But first of all, we got to have our own stuff in place first. Dr. T's, where our SEC network will come down, want to come take a tour of the campus. Okay. Campus look good. They can still get probably 5,000-10,000. You understand what I'm saying? They're coaches.
Oh yes, most definitely. I agree with that. I mean, you can't blame a kid who goes to visit, you know, University of Michigan, you know, and then he, or University of Florida, or right there. Let's go to Tallahassee. He goes to one weekend. He goes to Florida State, and the next weekend he goes to FAMU. I mean, you can't blame a kid for wanting to go to Florida State. I don't blame the kids for that. But that's what I say. But here's one thing that I've done with my training, that I've done a lot of change in my training. I'm requiring all my kids to watch with their parents, the documentary Black Magic. Because we gotta begin, like, I'm just a believer in this. We gotta begin to cast vision. And now listen, you're talking to somebody who grew up with the major white institutions. Matter of fact, hated the black schools. I clowned my brother when he decided to go to Fisk. I clowned him. You going to Fisk? Where's that at? You know what I'm saying?
Nashville, Tennessee, baby.
Yeah, I clowned him. But that's because all I knew was Cornell and Syracuse. But then when we moved down south and I got the exposure to the eight, man, there's nothing like going to college in the state of North Carolina, man, with all them HBCUs. You can go 30 minutes in any direction and be at another black college, and it's like home, you know. But we got to cast the vision that, listen, we can go to our institutions and still reach the highest levels of success. So they got to know about the people like Earl Lloyd and Earl DePearl Monroe and and Walter Payton and Jerry Rice. You know, you're talking about the best ever played a game that come from our institutions. And not only athletically, but academia. So if we don't start talking about our history, which is a rich tradition, I don't think all the other stuff we try to do won't even matter, because our minds think that white is better. And if we don't go white, it's not going to turn out right.
Wow. Wow. I love it, Coach.
I think we've
hit on something. So let me recap this for a second, just from our conversation tonight, guys. Mindset. And with the mindset, I'm going to add what you just said, Coach. We have to showcase our history, and we have to truly highlight what we've accomplished to let these kids know that they truly do come from kings and queens. They are kings and queens. They just have not realized it yet. Facilities, making sure that our facilities, like Mr. Football said, our facilities are up to par. And then, boom, creating our own tournament, pageants, et cetera. That's what I think we need to do. That's from the conversation we've had tonight. I love it. I love it, gentlemen. I love it.
Well, like I said, we got something right now. I think, like I say, it's the mindset. I think most of all, it's a certain pride you gotta have within yourself. If you're not proud of where you're from, then what is that saying you about you being a man or a woman? I'm going to go back to Michael Strahan. How much impact do you think if he went on Good Morning America next week? Hey, how y'all doing? Oh, by the way, shouts out to my beloved university, Texas Southern University. That right there could draw maybe 1,000 students, man. So
yeah,
my thing
is,
we should hold him accountable and write him emails and letters.
You know why I love that point you just made? The reason why I love the point you just made, because all of us remember the 80s and the Cosby Show. And Bill Cosby always had on a sweater from an HBCU.
Yes.
And Spike Lee in his movies, you know. And at that time, man, you could go around, at least here in Atlanta, you could go around and see young people wearing, their colors from their HBCU and wear that HBCU paraphernalia. But now, man, it's almost like we don't even exist. So I think that's a great point that, you know, Strahan, those guys that have made it to that level, that they speak out on it and talk about it. And I think one of the great things, like Coach Brown, he's in them schools, and I'm in those schools, that we have to start with them kids in the elementary. You know, take them to, you know, I'm going to say what's funny. I'm going to be real, real brief with this. I took a grown man. So Vince, you took, Mr. Football, you talked about Grambling and Southern. I took a grown man probably about 6 years ago. He was probably about 40 years old at the time. I took him to the Florida Classic, Bethune-Cookman and FAMU. He couldn't believe it. He hadn't seen nothing. He's from right here in Atlanta. He hadn't seen nothing. They sold out the Citrus Bowl, 72,000 people, and there was another 20,000 people didn't even go inside the game, outside. And he couldn't believe it. He never seen nothing like it. And see, our kids have got to know that, look, we could put on the same events that these folks do. And let me tell you something. You'll have more fun at this event than you will when you go to the Georgia Tech game, because that's you. That's your family. But we got to expose them to that stuff at a young age, and they got to understand, look, man, we put on the same type of stuff. You just got to know about it.
And then also, too, it's got to trickle down in the job market also. The degree has to mean something coming from the HBCU schools now. If you have a degree, let's say political science coming from Clark, I noticed this since I've been in the Atlanta metro area. You say, oh, man, I graduated from Clark, political science, and you go with somebody, oh, man, I got my political science degree from Georgia. Automatically, when you got them two conversations, the person from Georgia is going to automatically look at you, high school degree. I don't mean to say it like that, but that's how the perception is, because the reason that person from Georgia is saying this is because of the reputation the school is having, stealing money within the administration from the financial aid department. You see, them rumors right there used to run rapid over there in the HBCU schools. I don't mean to put nobody on blast, but like you said, Coach Spencer, the mindset. See, people talk out here in society, especially among us as African-American. I got a friend, I'm not calling no names. I live here in Douglas County, daughter real smart, smart. She was thinking about going to Spelman. But her dad is Spelman, to me, is just as academically better than Georgia Tech and what she was going to major in, or let's say Emory. In no shape or form, he said point blank, I don't want my daughter at no HBCUs. She ended up going to Emory. And the reason he said, Vince, because of the reputation that I'm hearing in the streets. Reputation, because I know somebody that works at the school, and he had another friend whose daughter had been at Clark for one semester, and it took her to October till she got her financial aid correct.
It's a
coaches.
Sad,
and that's the reality,
hey man, let me put it like this.
Mindset.
We get ready rumors. To the show, I got major love for the HBCUs. I would not be alive if it wasn't for, you know, Clark Atlanta University. That's where my parents met. So I got major love for CAU, major love for Hampton. That's where my brother went. I'm actually only one in my immediate family that did not go to a HBCU. So I'm like Coach Spencer. I did not necessarily want to go to a HBCU. But here's the amazing thing about that, Mr. Football, Coach Spencer. I was only recruited by one HBCU. And when the coach got fired, the new coach staff didn't even recruit me. So we have a lot of issues to look at as we continue this conversation about historically black colleges and universities, man. And I'm excited to be able to get some of these great coaches on the air and share their stories, share what they're doing to change the perception of HBCUs. And, hey, we're going to land one of these top basketball recruits. We're going to land one of these top football recruits. And that's what's going to start changing the face of HBCU athletics.
And it only takes one. And,
absolutely.
You know, a lot of people don't know this, and this is my last statement, is that O.J. Mayo and Billy Walker, I don't know if y'all remember them, but they're the last two major recruits that I can remember. But they had FAMU in their top three. They're the only two major recruits that I can remember in my last 20 years that even considers an HBCU.
Wow.
So that's why I believe that it starts at home, and we got to start sharing the importance of why going to HBCUs is critical.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Well, it's been a great topic tonight. I will say this, both interesting points. All I can say is I think we got to find out who we are as HBCU schools. I went to a white predominant school, University of Arkansas. I wanted to transfer out my freshman year and go to Southern University. I think it would have changed my life, but my father told me point blank, you came up here with this school, you're going to grow up and be a man, because I'm not going to send you all over the country. But I wish I would have chose Southern from off the top, because I know I would have been a different person. God bless you. Been enjoying 100 Yards of Football tonight here on Blog Talk Radio.